You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along. On today's show, we will go around the conference as LSU loses a key defender for the season. Florida gives an update on Anthony Richardson, the latest on the Tennessee quarterback situation, and an update on George Pickens, the Georgia wide receiver, and much, much more. The SEC football players of the week are out for this past week. We'll run through some of those. And game times have been announced for week 5 in the SEC. We'll give you our thoughts looking ahead to next week. I am Chris Gordy. Be sure to follow Locked On SEC for free. Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll get the latest episode of this show as soon as it comes out each and every day. And a quick reminder, no better place to get all your Pac-12 conference news than Locked On Pac-12, hosted by Cindy Robinson. Follow Locked On Pac-12 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's jump into it. Plenty to discuss here.
Boots out to the right. Makes the handoff.
Around the conference.
And we start in Gainesville as Dan Mullen gave an update yesterday on backup quarterback Anthony Richardson. He was held out of Saturday's loss to Alabama out of precaution. Mullen said they took an MRI on Friday, said he still wasn't 100%, did not want to risk further injury. Mullen said they'll see how he responds this week, and he could play this week against Tennessee. Some conspiracy theorists, if you want to go down this route, maybe saying the Alabama game not as important for Florida as, say, Georgia in a few weeks. Much rather not re-aggravate Richardson's injury against Alabama, lose him even longer, save him, make sure he's 100% for the Georgia game in a few weeks. Much more important game for Florida. Again, if you buy any conspiracy theories. Over at LSU, a big loss for their defense as Coach Ed Ogeron announced yesterday. Starting defensive end Andre Anthony is out for the season with a knee injury. Anthony is second on the team in sacks with 3.5 behind B.J. Ojulari. He had a 33-yard fumble return for a touchdown this past weekend against Central Michigan. He was already a 6-year senior, so you have to assume college career probably over now. But Coach O said he thinks this recruiting class that they just had is the best class he has signed since he's been at LSU. In addition, he said freshman defensive lineman Mason Smith, who was a big 5-star recruit, Coach O said he's going to move from D-tackle to defensive end. So he'll try to fill the void of Anthony. Smith had 3 sacks 2 weeks ago in the McNeese game. LSU leads the country in sacks, tied with Marshall with 17 total. Over at Tennessee, Coach Josh Heupel was asked the latest on quarterback Joe Milton, and Heupel pretty quiet on the topic, saying he doesn't speak in hypotheticals. When asked if there's any big difference between calling plays for Milton versus Hendon Hooker as the starting quarterback, he said overall, schematically, there's not a ton of difference in what you're trying to do. So no word on if Milton will return this week at Florida. But if I had to bet, maybe sounds like Hendon Hooker will probably be the guy. We'll see if we get more details throughout the week. Over at Georgia, Seth Emerson, who covers the Bulldogs for The Athletic, he gave an update on Twitter yesterday about the progress of wide receiver George Pickens and his injury. We haven't heard much about it. He said Pickens is still, quote, a long way from returning, but he is starting to participate in some in Georgia's practice. He was running routes yesterday, wearing a leg brace, running well, caught a pass while the media was there watching, but he made sure to point out it was just passing drills, nobody playing defense, but still, it's something. It'd be even more dangerous for this Georgia offense if and when they eventually get George Pickens back, but again, maybe a while. Over at Texas A&M, coming out of their win against New Mexico over the weekend, Jimbo Fisher updating several injuries on their team. Junior offensive lineman Luke Matthews and defensive back Keldrick Carper are both day-to-day, he said. Junior wide receiver Anaya Smith, probably the same, he said, in day-to-day, although he noted Smith seemed good afterwards, after the game on Saturday. Junior defensive back Eric Young should return to practice soon, and sophomore O-lineman Layden Robinson should return to game action this week. Over at Arkansas, Coach Sam Pittman was asked yesterday about their neutral site game coming up this weekend against Texas A&M. And Pittman said, quote, I don't feel great about it, to be honest with you. I get the situation. We're in a contract. I get it. The A&M Arkansas game is under contract at Jerry's World in Dallas through 2024. And we've heard some rumblings. Look, man, get rid of this neutral site thing. Let's get this game back on campus. Sam Pittman also pointed out one of the biggest issues they're going to have this year is Their team technically has three home games among its next five, but only one of those games will be played at Razorback Stadium. Of course, this weekend at Jerry's World, and then in a few weeks, in late October, they will play Arkansas Pine Bluff, but that game will be played at War Memorial Stadium. So, hard to have a home field advantage when you're not playing your home games in your home stadium. Over at Auburn, Brian Harsin talking with the media yesterday following his team's loss to Penn State. He said they did not name any players of the game this week. They don't do that following a loss. Harsin also said it sounds like linebacker Owen Papo will be available for the Georgia State game after dealing with a leg injury. He said it's just a matter of how many snaps he'll get this week. Papo left the game last week in the second half with that injury. He also said it's been concerning that opposing teams are having an extremely high completion percentage against Auburn this year. Opponents are doing a good job of executing their pass game, Harsin said, but they have to come up and challenge them more. Auburn is dead last in FBS, allowing 78% of pass attempts. Harsin said they just can't let the quarterback sit in the pocket for 8-9 seconds, that they had a lack of a pass rush last week against Penn State. Got to get better. Over at Kentucky, Coach Mark Stoops and the Wildcats coming off their close win over Chattanooga, and the Cats were without one of their starting linebackers in that game, Jordan Wright. Yesterday, Coach Stoops said Wright will return this week at South Carolina. Stoops called the win over Chattanooga one of those, quote, aggravating games, and that they let them hang around, and said he has to do a better job getting the team ready to play. Over at Alabama, they're happy with their win over Florida in the Swamp. The Dodd Trophy, named Nick Saban its Coach of the Week. Jim Terry, the chairman of the Bobby Dodd Coach of the Year Award, said this was another significant victory for Alabama that now puts the Crimson Tide in the driver's seat for the SEC West. Said Coach Dodd would have appreciated Coach Saban's ability to keep his team poised in a hostile road environment and a highly competitive game against a solid Florida team. Over at Mississippi State, Mike Leach talking with the media yesterday as they prepare to host LSU. Of course, they had great success in week one last year at LSU, lighting them up for 600 passing yards and route to a victory. Leach said yesterday he expects LSU to play quite a more zone, a bit more zone this year. He said kind of between the man and zone this year is kind of 50-50. Last year, Bo Pelini refused to switch to zone in week one. Leach's offense torched the LSU defense. Could be a little bit different this time around with Durante Jones calling the plays. And lastly, over at Missouri, Coach Eli Drinkwitz talking with the media. He said he was able to watch some of Georgia's game Saturday night and said, quote, adding Will Muschamp to that defensive staff ought to be illegal. Georgia's defense is top three in the country in both yards allowed and points allowed. Drinkwitz also said he's been surprised by his running back, Tyler Beatty, who he said is doing a remarkable job handling everything they've thrown at him. Beatty is averaging 115 rush yards per game, leads Mizzou in receiving as well with 142 yards on 15 catches. 6 total touchdowns on the year for Tyler Beatty. And there you have it. That is Around the Conference. When we return, we're going to run through some of the SEC game times announced for next week in the conference. That's next. Need to remind you guys out there who are college football fanatics about our friends over at Prize Picks. If you have not tried Prize Picks yet, you need to go check them out. It is daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and I know you are going to as well. Prize Picks is a leader in the college sports daily fantasy world. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world and offer all the star players of the Power 5 as well as mid-majors. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of. They got yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sport entries, so if you want to do one from baseball, if you want to do one with basketball, football, whatever you want, you can mix it, and it's really, really cool. Use their award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Don't hesitate. Go check them out, prizepicks.com, or go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks. Check them out today. This episode also brought to you by our friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it is impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. When you go in there, half the time they're going to their computer and they're typing in, you know, the part, the make and model for your car. Why do that? You've got a computer at your home. Save time and save money when you use Rock Auto. It is a family business serving auto parts customers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, and you get everything you need from wiper blades to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, whatever it is you need, rockauto.com is going to have it. Go explore their easy-to-use website today. You can find the solution to your auto parts needs. Just go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you're right locked on in there. How did you hear about us box? So that they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com right now. Rolling along here, Locked On SEC. And, you know, the SEC does this where they release, you know, they look ahead a week later. So obviously throughout this week, we'll get into the games happening this weekend. But I figured since they announced the game times for next week, and it is a pretty consequential week when you talk about the slate, I figured we'd jump right into it. So let's get into it. The SEC announcing the game times for Saturday, October 2nd. And man, what a slate we have. Highlighting the games that day will be number 13, Ole Miss at number 1, Alabama. That's going to kick off 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern, and will be the CBS game. That's the one that everybody's going to have their eyes on. Lane Kiffin returning to Tuscaloosa to take on Nick Saban and Alabama. It is the big one. And let's be honest, from what we saw from Florida's ability to run the ball in Alabama in the second half over the weekend, Florida's ability to complete passes with Emory Jones on Alabama's secondary in the second half, you have to wonder what Matt Corral and their rushing attack, keep in mind, they have are really good with Jerry and Ely, Snoop Conner company running the ball. Going to be a really interesting one. Again, we're a week out from that one, but one to keep an eye on, Lane Kiffin and Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Lane wants to win that one. Can he break the curse of being the first former Saban assistant to beat him? Nobody else has done it. Two other huge conference matchups that day that will be televised by ESPN. You'll have number 16 Arkansas playing at number 2 Georgia. Of course, Arkansas gets the big one against A&M this week. But just imagine if Arkansas can knock off top 10 A&M this weekend in Dallas. Man, going to Georgia the next week and an early game at that, make that one a much more intriguing matchup. And then the other one will be number 23, Auburn playing at LSU. A night game in Death Valley, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. I saw the stat yesterday. Both UAB and Troy have won in Baton Rouge more recently than Auburn has. It has been 20 years since Auburn has won in Baton Rouge. Look, we'll see what LSU looks like this weekend. If they beat Mississippi State, that place is going to be rocking for Auburn. If you're an Auburn fan, you're rooting hard for Mississippi State this weekend. Why? You want the Bulldogs to beat LSU and LSU fans to lose interest in the Auburn game the following week. Because if LSU bounces back, look, LSU looked competent this past week against Central Michigan, played their best game of the year. If they go into Starkville and beat Mississippi State, they are going to have that stadium packed out and loud for Auburn the following week. Other games of note, our poor Tennessee Volunteers, man. This is their third time in 5 weeks they're getting a 12 p.m. Eastern kickoff time on the SEC Network. And I was just running through our schedule. There are more candidates coming down the road. You've got the South Carolina game the week after. You've got the at Kentucky game, the South Alabama game, the Vanderbilt game. All of those potentials for 12 p.m. Eastern kickoff. So Tennessee, bad news, but you could end up getting half your schedule this season being 12 p.m. Eastern kickoffs. It is what it is. Some people said they like them because it clears their day to take care of other things. You'll also have Troy at South Carolina. That's one that the Gamecocks will definitely need to bounce back and get, especially if they take an L at home this week to Kentucky. Florida will be at Kentucky. That game will be either ESPN or SEC Network. That one's paired with Mississippi State at Texas A&M. I think they're waiting to see kind of what happens this weekend on some of these games. But think about it. If Kentucky beats South Carolina this week, that's a really good Kentucky team hosting Florida. And I think the last couple times Kentucky's hosted Florida and Lexington, those games have been close. So that one will be very interesting. Again, if Mike Leach loses to LSU this weekend, it'll be tough to go into College Station. But A&M, their offense kind of struggling. So we'll see if Leach and his team can go put up some points at College Station. And then the other game that night, a weird one, UConn is at Vandy. That'll be an ESPNU game next week. And then, of course, like we mentioned, the Auburn at LSU game. One quick note I do want to bring up just while we're talking about the 2:30, 3:30 CBS game. keep in mind, once this contract with CBS ends, a lot of those primetime games, like, you talk to a lot of people, they hate the 2:30 game. Like, it means you're getting the national audience. You're the prime SEC game of the week. But everybody wants night games in their stadium. If you're Alabama, if you're LSU, if you're Florida, you want night games. The good thing is, when the CBS contract is up, guess who gets first bidding rights? ABC and ESPN. They will own the property, and they're going to put the best game in prime time. For instance, this past week, if the CBS contract had ended, Alabama at Florida probably would have been the night game on ABC. No disrespect to Penn State Auburn, but that game probably would have flipped to ESPN or ESPN2, and Florida at Alabama would have been the primetime ABC game. So that's the good news. We're still a ways off. Some people think that ESPN and the SEC may buy themselves out of the CBS contract by next year or the year after, but it's coming. Say goodbye to the 2:30, 3:30 CBS games. And most importantly, say goodbye to the long extended commercial breaks that seem to take forever. All right. Last thing, the 2022 SEC schedule is going to be released tonight on the SEC Network. So we're going to get into that on tomorrow's podcast. Again, we're going to spend a good bit of time this week looking ahead to the games this weekend. Don't get me wrong, but going to be big news as the SEC schedule for next season is going to come out tonight. We'll jump into a little bit on that on tomorrow's podcast and get you guys all set. When we return, some SEC Players of the Week honors handed out this week. We'll get into that coming up next. Real quick, need to remind you guys about our friends at betonline.ag. They are back and better than ever. All eyes on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. We got college football several weeks into the year now, NFL fully underway, and BetOnline, as always, is your number one spot for all things pro and college football action this season. Their website is newly updated, the site and interface, and they got more odds, props, and contests than you can imagine. BetOnline.ag, they continue to be your number one source for everything football. If you head to their website right now and you've never signed up before, you can sign up today on your mobile device, receive a 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Use their promo code NFL100. That's NFL100. BetOnline, they are the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, they are your online sportsbook experts. Go check them out today and make the games just a little bit more interesting on Saturdays. All right, rolling along here, Locked On SEC, and let's jump into it because we got some honors to divvy out. These coming from the Southeastern Conference office, but we have some Players of the Week. And first up, in the SEC, your Offensive Player of the Week, the honors go to Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral. He became the first player in SEC history with 3 passing touchdowns and 4 rushing touchdowns in a single game, leading Ole Miss past Tulane. The 7 total touchdowns tied the school record set in 1951 by Showboat Boykin. Who could forget, against Mississippi State. Finished the game 23 of 31. Matt Corral did 335 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, no interceptions, rushed for 68 yards, and a career-high 4 touchdowns on the ground. Pretty impressive performance. Your Defensive Player of the Week in the SEC was Alabama linebacker Will Anderson. Led the Crimson Tide in production points as the Tide defeated number 9 Florida in Gainesville. Anderson finished with 7 total tackles, 4 solo stops, recorded a career-high 3.5 tackles for a loss. And Alabama coaches credited Anderson with 4 pressures. He was also playing injured, which makes it even more impressive. Your co-defensive player of the week over at Georgia, outside linebacker Nolan Smith. He ignited the Bulldog defense with a career-high 8 tackles during Georgia's 40-13 dismantling of South Carolina. He had 1.5 sacks in his performance, including splitting one with Jordan Davis that resulted in a Gamecock safety just before halftime. Nolan Smith also forced a fumble in the third quarter that was recovered by the Bulldogs, led to Georgia's 5th touchdown of the game. Thanks in part to Nolan Smith's performance, the Bulldog defense has only allowed one single touchdown this season. So ridiculous what they're doing there in Georgia with that defense. Your special teams player of the week goes to the punter over at Texas A&M, sophomore punter Nick Constantino. I'm not good with Greek names, but he's from Australia. Punted 4 times for 182 yards, averaged 45.5 yards per punt. All 4 punts were killed inside the 20. and his long was a 61-yard effort that was killed at the 5-yard line. Congrats to him. Your defensive player of the week in the SEC goes to B.J. Ojulari from LSU. He had 3 tackles, including 2.5 sacks, and helping LSU to a 49-21 win over Central Michigan. Ojulari's 2.5 sacks totaled 13 yards in losses. As a unit, LSU recorded 5 sacks and 15 tackles for LSU. LSU held Central Michigan to 56 rushing yards and just 284 total yards in the win. So B.J. Ojulari doing a great job for the Tigers. Lastly, offensive lineman of the week goes to Jeremy James over at Ole Miss. Paved the way for a landmark Ole Miss offense and amassed 41 first downs that tied an SEC record. Helped the Rebels total over 700 yards of offense. Marked the 4th most ever by an Ole Miss team. The O-line did not allow a sack, and the Rebels converted on 7 of 8 trips to the red zone. Your other offensive lineman of the week goes to Rick Stromberg, center over at Arkansas. Paved the way for an Arkansas offense that posted over 600 yards in the 45-10 win over Georgia Southern. It's the 8th best mark in program history, 633 yards. They helped Arkansas register 200 or more rushing yards in every game this season. The Razorbacks, one of 5 teams in the country to rush for 240 yards or more in 3 games. A&M, y'all better be ready to stop the run this week. For the season, Pro Football Focus grades Ricky Stromberg as the SEC's top center, earning an offensive grade of 77.3. And lastly, your SEC Freshman of the Week. The honors go to Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver at Georgia. He posted a career high of 4 catches for a team-high 77 yards and his first career touchdown during the victory over the Gamecocks. Mitchell hauled in a career-long 38-yarder for a touchdown from JT Daniels to put the Bulldogs up 21-6 in the second quarter. Mitchell's other 3 catches went for first downs, including 2 on 3rd and long situations. So congrats to Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver at Georgia. And there you have it. Those are your SEC Players of the Week coming from the SEC office. Hey, a quick reminder, betting on the SEC does not have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, you get daily picks, Lee's Lock of the Day, and much more. Follow Locked On Bets, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. That is going to do it for me, Chris Gordy. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow as we'll look ahead to this weekend, start to get into looking ahead to some of the big games happening this weekend, and we'll also highlight some of the big games that are happening next year as the 2022 SEC schedule is revealed. Remember last year got kind of weird playing the whole SEC-only schedule? Kind of got thrown off from our crossover opponents and all that. I had a buddy text me saying, who's Tennessee playing? Do we play A&M? Do we play LSU? Well, we'll find out tonight. That'll be on SEC Network, and we'll have a full recap for you tomorrow right here on Locked On SEC. Remember to subscribe if you haven't. Welcome in all our new listeners. We're certainly getting a lot of new ones this season. A lot of interest in the best conference in the country, the SEC. We also had some more on Penn State fans coming at us on social media. So they think they won the Super Bowl now that they beat a middle-of-the-pack Auburn team in the SEC. It is what it is. Whatever. Enjoy your win. But we'll be talking more all things SEC. And reminder to subscribe on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. But then also, we're on YouTube now, where you can catch all our videos as well. So go check us out over there and subscribe there, too. I'm Chris Gordy. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.